Well, all right, everybody out there in Turdville, welcome to another TFMR podcast. Today, we have a special guest, someone I've been wanting to track down for quite some time. He's done an invaluable service to the gold and silver community with his Silver Bullet and Silver Shield video series that you can find on YouTube. He is, a big advocate for all of us, and he does great work. His name is Chris Duane. And I wanted to bring him into Turdville today to let those of you who are already acquainted with Chris to get a little more familiar with him. But I always know there's a big segment of the population out there that are hearing things for the first time. And so this was a big chance to bring Chris in and let you all get to know him. So, Chris, thank you very much for spending some time here in Turdville.
Yeah, it's actually great. It's kind of surreal, like when you are on the internet and you're kind of listening and searching, and I'm a big advocate of listen to all and follow none. You know, it's kind of cool to like listen to a guy like you and then like a couple months later be asked to be a part of that. So big fan of your work. You know, I listen to you, and when you got Willie on and all these other guys, we got a really cool conversation that's going. And all this work collectively, you know, all these bloggers and people talking and stuff is really changing the consciousness of what we're all doing. Because at the end of the day, this isn't a monetary battle or a political battle. It's really a battle of what we're actively or passively supporting every day in our conscious decisions. So all these kind of conversations that you do and I do and Willie and all these other guys out there is really designed around for us to really take serious what we're doing with our lives. So it's a real pleasure to be here with you, Turd.
Well, and thank you, Chris. Tell everybody first a little bit. I mean, how'd you get in? I mean, folks know how I got started. I mean, I kind of had my own awakening right after the financial crisis, where I'd been in the industry for almost 20 years, and all of a sudden it just dawned on me what a fraud everything was, and it was all just bullshit. And I would imagine we all kind of have similar experience, but tell everybody about yours and how you got started down this road.
Yeah, I mean, sort of on the same level. I was in New Jersey. My family owns a bunch of car dealerships. I was brought up in the car business, and very similar to the financial services. It's really based off of creating unlimited amount of debt and selling, you know, that to the public. And here I was. I was, you know, 30-year-old millionaire, top of the world. Just got married. You know, I had a kid on the way. And I asked the question, I go, what is money? And I realized that despite my success, I had no fucking clue what money was. And when I found out, it really scared the shit out of me, because I was like, you know, God, you know, if all money is debt, at some point this debt's going to become completely unsustainable. And then what does that do to everything? Yeah. You know, I mean, literally every aspect of our lives is influenced or really controlled by money. I mean, your assets, your job, your house, your insurance, where you send your kids to school, and let's be honest, our marriages. You know, I mean, if mommy, daddy's not bringing home the bread, mommy's not going to be too happy. So, you know, I started rationalizing through what all this meant. And I realized, well, no wonder I'm successful. In the car business, all you do is create debt. No one comes in with $30,000 in cash and buys a car. No, they sign debt contracts. And I'm part of the problem. So I wrestled with that for, I don't know, probably about 3 years. But my first realization was that in 2005, no wonder things are good. We're in the middle of a housing bubble. So the very first thing I did when I finally had this awakening was to sell my house at the top of the housing bubble in New Jersey. And you know, everybody said I was crazy and nuts and stupid, and you know, I'll never be able to afford this. And mind you, I had a 7.5 month pregnant wife at the time with our first child, so not the easiest thing to do, but I did it. And once I sold out, I then started to think through all the ways that I could store this cash now that I had, because I realized even the dollars were trouble. Mm-hmm. And I went through all the different ways. I realized, well, gee, every single paper asset that I knew of has the same basic fundamental flaws. It's counterparty risk. It's debt-based. It's, it can be seized at any time. It could be, inflated away, and you have no control over it. So I knew I couldn't put it in stocks and bonds and 401ks and IRAs and, you know, multiple of, you know, insurance policies or whatever. All those things are going to go down when the dollar collapses. So I looked at commodities. Well, you look at commodities, and majority of them have storage or degradation issues. So I knew I couldn't invest in, you know, a whole bunch of money in cotton or oil or pork bellies or corn or anything else, which naturally leads you to precious metals. And then the choice is pretty simple there. You know, you look at the historical ratio between gold and silver. Right now, it's what, you know, 1 ounce of gold to 51 ounces of silver.
About that.
Well, yeah, and if you look back throughout history, it was 1 to 16 or 1 to 12, and now the natural ratio that it comes out of the ground is 1 to 9. So I think that the regardless whatever dollar valuation you put on gold or silver or whatever projection, it really doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, I'm investing for the day that the dollar doesn't buy 1 ounce of silver, and I think the path towards silver outperforming gold is far, far easier than gold outperforming silver. So I went literally bet the house on silver back in 2005, and that started my journey. And then, you know, the only other kind of hiccup I had along the road was trying to convince my friends and family and everybody else of it for 3 years from 05 to 08 about, you know, what I saw, and I could get nowhere with them. You know, you can never be a prophet in your own land. And eventually, I had to walk away from my entire inheritance family business for zero in order to get away from the business, because I realized that the millions of dollars of performing assets I had in the business were going to be worth millions of dollars worth of debt when the economy tanked. So May of 2008, I said goodbye to my friends, my family, my state, my industry, and walked away from everything in May 2008. And then 5 months later, I was proven right.
Well, absolutely. And I, you kind of touched upon what then led you into the becoming the Silver Shield and starting the whole Silver Bullet, Silver Shield series at YouTube. You have done a fantastic job. And as you mentioned, trying to convince your friends and your family, and here we're approaching the holidays again, and we are all individually going to, you know, show up at a Christmas party, you know, whatever, some holiday event with family and friends, and they're going to be talking about who's going to win the next American Idol and the Super Bowl and all that kind of stuff. And you won't really get any traction with folks because a lot of folks are dealing with fatigue after the election and all this fiscal cliff stuff going on. But what you then have done is channeled your energy and your frustration into that Silver Bullet, Silver Shield series. On there are a couple of great, I guess, mini series within it. One deals with the fractional reserve banking and explaining to people how that works. And then you've also got what you call the five stages of awakening. Yeah. Maybe you can kind of touch upon those two themes. And for everybody listening, you'll see here in the interview, blog post, podcast, you'll see the link to Chris's YouTube channel. And I would invite everybody, if you haven't been there before, to go there and explore it. But anyway, Chris, talk a little bit about the stages of awakening and what we can all do to help.
Sure. Well, I mean, you're right. All my work came out of the frustration of not being able to wake up anybody, not one person in my family or my business partners or anything, to what I did. So, okay, so I walked away in May of 2008. The economy crashed in October, but so did silver. You know, silver got whacked 60%. So, yeah. You know, try walking away with your silver stash going, okay, I got a good buffer. So I can ride it out and then have that buffer lose 60% of its value in almost 5 months. So I originally started to create the Silver Bullet and Silver Shield mainly as a way to reconfirm all the information that I had learned about silver and put it in a way that I wish I had learned it. So prior to like 2008, way back in 2005-ville, there was very few people who spoke about silver. I give credit to David Morgan and Jason Hommel and Jim Poblava as really the only guys that I even remember talking about silver. And then even the stuff that they put out, it was like, you know, you really had to dig for information. Like now, you know, you got guys like me and you and Silver Doctors and, you know, all these guys out there. There's a million silver blogs. There's way more information about, you know, what's going on with silver. But I tried to bring in all the information that I knew mainly as a reality check to say, hey, silver's down 60%. I cannot be that wrong. So I went through all the fundamentals of what drove me to literally bet the house on silver. And it helped, calm my emotional need to, you know, end the pain and sell. and stick to silver and understand that. And geez, what happened after that? It went up 400% over the next 2 years because of that. So I wrote the Silver Bullet and Silver Shield, and I released it in February of 2011. And within probably about 2 or 3 months, I had almost 500,000 hits to that one article, and it was translated into 7 different languages, basically as this kind of, you know, end-all, be-all, why you should be invested in silver. So I started doing the videos. I translated it into video form, and it turned into this big 6.5-hour, you know, mega series on everything you could possibly need to know about silver. And the YouTube channel I started the beginning of this year is gone on to get, you know, 5.5 million views. And to me, you know, silver is one part of it. There's so much more, and it really comes down to this consciousness of what we're actively, passively doing with our lives. And one of the most important lessons, which you brought up, is this 5 stages of awakening. 5 stages of awakening, whenever you wake up to a new reality, you go through this same, you know, emotional process that you would if somebody died in your family. And it was Elizabeth Kubler-Ross that came up with the 5 stages of grief. Well, when your old self, your old naive self, your old trusting self dies, your body physically reacts to that as the same way as if, you know, your wife or your mom or somebody else died. And it's the same five stages. It's denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and finally acceptance. And it's marked in our own personal lives with, you know, whenever you hear something new, like, you know, you're at the Christmas party, somebody says, hey, go buy silver. You know, you go, nah, denial. You know, I don't, that doesn't make sense. I'm not going to do that. And you just reject it automatically. And we're trained to do that, by the way. But to the people who do wake up to it and finally go, let me think about that, your first natural reaction is anger. Like, how could I have been so wrong? How did I miss that opportunity? Who fooled me? Why am I paying for this now? That's what the emotional trigger is. And then after you burn through that very high energy phase, you go to bargaining, which is what, you know, everybody does. They become super annoying. You know, it's like you know, you come into this new reality and you want to, you know, shout on the top of the rooftops, you know, you're new enlightening, and it's the most annoying stage, and it actually works counter to what you're trying to do.
Yep.
You end up pushing people away by doing that. And then the next stage is after you've burned through all your friends and family and pissed off everybody else, and you start to see that the problems are so big, so large, and no one listens and no one gives a shit, you go into depression. And unfortunately, I think that's where the majority of the people who are awake are stuck in.
Yeah.
It's not until you get to this acceptance stage where you say, hey, it is what it is, but I'm going to focus on not emotional things outside of my control. I'm going to focus logical things on inside my control. When you can start moving forward, doing positive, productive things with your life. And you know what? That's when people will start noticing the change, and that's when you can make real effect by walking your path in peace, and people will follow you.
Well, and I think that's a great encapsulation of what you've done, Chris. I mean, obviously, you've kind of lived that out. I feel, listening you describe all those stages, that's exactly what I've done as well. And we are just simply, we're kind of in that 5th stage now, and just trying to enlighten and educate as much as we can. Now that you've got the series done, you're kind of, what's the next move for you? What's the next step for you in your crusade, if you will?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the most important thing for people, and obviously all your listeners, my listeners get this, you know, we get that we're a little bit ahead of the curve. We understand that there is going to have a collapse happen. And what works for us personally in understanding these 5 stages of awakening, you have to realize, Turd, all of humanity's has to go through this. You know, at some point, these debts are unsustainable. Our entire way of life cannot go on this way. We can't have, you know, unlimited amount of debt. We can't have $1 trillion of student debt onto the youngest generation. The obesity levels, the anti-anxiety drugs, like, there's nothing worth holding on to in this paradigm. Nothing.
Yep.
We actually should be rejoicing that this is going to end and we can get this, you know, vampire squid off of our face.
Yep.
But the reality is humanity has to go through these same 5 stages, and we all really know that everybody's in denial right now. They're in denial that their jobs are going to go away, that we cannot go consume more than we produce. We cannot fight unlimited wars. We can't have this unlimited government intruding on our rights. You know, all that's going to end, and people right now are satiated by the fact that, you know, they can get their porn and McDonald's and iPads and all that other stuff. But at some point, that reality is no longer going to be possible, and people are actually going to have to start producing again in a very serious way. And they're going to have to start asking questions about how their entire life was a complete fraud. I mean, can you imagine waking up a 65-year-old baby boomer after working into this entire consumer-based paradigm, sacrificing time for working for a corporation and having your pension, your insurance, your savings, destroying the relationships with your kids because you were focused on buying more stuff, and waking up to find out that reality doesn't exist anymore?
Yeah.
Jeez, under your head. And unfortunately, that's what people are going to do unless they start getting their minds wrapped around that they need to start taking positive, productive action in order for us to be a blessing onto others who are coming into this. And when people get snapped out of denial, there's going to be the anger phase. And I tell you what, guys like Geithner and Ben Bernanke are going to be running from the pitchforks and torches.
Mm-hmm.
People wake up to the reality of the fraud that they enabled and created and were a part of. But the anger phase will burn out. It will not be equally bad everywhere all at once. This isn't going to be the end of the world. It's just going to be the end of that paradigm. The paradigm I call debt and death. And we need to start taking action and preparing for that, because at some point we're going to burn through that, and that will be the greatest opportunity, I believe, in human history to start over again. The greatest investments will be there. The greatest time to do things will be there, because all the illusions will be laid to waste, and the people who have transferred their assets, their mindset, and taking great care and being good stewards to the opportunities that we have still today. I mean, geez, what's silver, like $35? Like, it's insane to me how cheap it is. And that we can actually start doing something better. So that's what my whole focus has been. I have the Silver Shield Group, which is a private membership site. I have the Coins for the Cause, which we started minting these silver coins, on how we start positioning ourselves, spreading the message, but also start doing things to prepare ourselves for the greatest opportunities that are ahead after the collapse.
Well, and let's just go there, I guess, in our few remaining minutes. The coin program that you've begun, Coins for the Cause, is, I think it's fantastic. One, obviously, any removal of physical silver from the open market, I'm going to help promote. Anyone that buys them, obviously, is adding to their stack. So I want to help promote that as well. And obviously, I want to help promote what you do, because I think what you do is such an essential part of this great awakening for everyone. So tell everybody about what you're doing with the coins, how successful they've been so far in people buying them, how they're trading on eBay, even at a premium. And again, everybody will notice that I've included here in this podcast, in the text of the podcast, you'll see there's a link so that anybody that wants to buy some can go get them. But Chris, tell us a little bit about that program and what you want to accomplish with it.
Well, it actually started when Rob Gray of American Open Currency tapped me to write his opening testimony to Ron Paul's last congressional hearing about alternate currencies with the dollar. And so, Rob tapped me, and I said, well, here's an opportunity to really tell the truth. So
yeah.
I went down to Congress, and you can, on my YouTube channel, it's called The Greatest Truth Told to Congress. And we laid waste to these guys. I mean, for 6.5 minutes, my favorite line out of thing says that we do not consider gold and silver to be competition to the Federal Reserve note, because in order to have competition, you cannot, there has to be a set of rules, a set of guidelines, and you cannot have competition with honest men and thieves. And let me be very clear, when I say thieves, I specifically mean the privately held Federal Reserve and the men in Congress that allow it to exist. We actually had a congressman, I think Al Green, as we said that, get up chair and left. So we forced a congressman to leave because we called them thieves. So we had a really good time with that. I got to meet Ron Paul down there. And we started to think about, well, geez, what are we going to do to follow this up? And Rob helped the Lakota Indians establish their sock in the United States by helping them create their own currency and own banking system. And if you go to Lakota Bank or .com, I don't know what website they are, the Lakota Indians have their own silver-based economy with a banking system. They don't accept Federal Reserve notes, and they won't, it's the most inconvenient bank, but that's the way things have to go.
Yeah.
I think that if you're going to have your money sitting in Bank of America and you think that you're going to make it through to the next paradigm with that, you're nuts. So yeah, we created Coins for the Cause because it was ironic that people get the five stages of awakening. What do they end up doing? They said, "Oh, I hate the Fed and Bernanke, and you know all the wars that this is sustaining—the military-industrial complex, the prisons, the you know the war on drugs, and all that other stuff." I'm going to show them. Go buy some silver eagles from the Treasury.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I mean, 40 million ounces of silver is done through the Treasury. And it's a 25-year-old coin. I mean, what's really to get excited about the next 2013 version of the Eagle? So I said, well, I got a ton of ideas for a lot of cool stuff, and it'll be a great way to put out new ideas out there, support the guys that are actually doing it, have stack, and do something really positive and productive and spread the message. So, yeah, we started Coins for the Cause. We did the first one, which was a pretty a cool one. It was called the In Debt and Death They Trust, and they talked about how the current paradigm is based off of the old banking family of the Rothschilds that own most of the world's central banks. So yeah, we made this cool rock and roll coin of a skull guy and a top hat and the family crest, and despite all the problems and setbacks and PayPal issues, PayPal tried to hold up $250,000 of our money and tried to shut us down basically by not releasing the money to us. So what do? We refunded all the money to the customers and told PayPal to go screw, and we ditched them.
Good.
So yeah, and then we just launched another one. But I mean, I have 30 more coins that are coming, and I tell you, Turd, mark my words, this next coin that is going to come out January 2nd is going to be an absolute barn burner. And I think that it is going to be something that everybody, it's going to get national news. It's going to be that controversial or cool or whatever you want to do.
Well, I think clearly we also have to mint one with a big turd hat on it. That'd probably go over pretty well too. We'll have to think about that, Chris. All right. So if somebody wanted to buy a coin or a bunch of them, or if they wanted to wait until January, what's the process? What website do they go to?
Go through the link that you're going to have at the bottom. Okay. And it's bring it to our site. And right now, got them available. We just launched the Trivium coin, which I just did a video review on my channel, yesterday. And they're going to be available until December 31st. That's the pretty cool thing also about this. We're coming up with new ideas and new designs, but having limited time to buy them, because what that ends up doing is helps the collector value of them. So right. Like we Death won November 6th on election day. You know, we had this big vote for silver instead of the, you know, the left-right paradigm puppets. And those coins are already going for double spot right now. I actually have a charity auction where I'm donating my six or first strikes of all the different versions that we had to two kids that I know that have cancer. And those are on eBay. And with 7 days left, four of those are over $400 a piece. I mean, they're 1 ounce silver coins, but they're the first version of them. But the average one, and look on eBay, just do Silver Bullet, Silver Shield, and the bullion section. Over this past year, past month, all of November, they're doing double spot. So the average price that you're going to be able to get them is $72. So anybody who bought one of these Debt and Death coins for, I don't know, $35 or $38, they're worth double that. In 1 month, like just because of the unique design, the limited availability. So we plan on redoing that formula over and over and over again, keep coming out with new stuff, provide a lot of value to all the silver stackers out there.
It's fabulous. And even in the end, if that eBay market, that secondary market, if they just become bullion coins, it's still silver that you're adding to your stack. And I think we all know where the price of that is going.
Yeah, I mean, that's the really amazing thing is that, they're doing well now. And I even encouraged people. I said, dude, if you get rid of one of my coins and pick up two silver eagles for it, do it. This is all silver. And you're taking more dollars and putting it towards silver, and it's eventually going to speed up the process and force the issue with the paper shorts that are holding this market back. We actually should be, instead of pissed off at Blythe and Jamie Dimon, we should really be thankful. Because they're providing us with this unlimited opportunity of stacking generational wealth. I mean, Turd, think about it. How many people throughout entire history have the ability of stacking 100 ounces of silver or 1,000 ounces of silver? Like, if you went back throughout history, that's just – it's almost an impossibility.
Right.
You know, average daily wage for the average person has always been about a tenth of an ounce of silver. And the reality is they were paycheck to paycheck players back then too, even worse. So the ability for the average American to stack, you know, 10, 100, 1,000, 10,000 ounces of silver without really much thought is really historically significant. And I think when the dollar paradigm ends, all this little group of networks of silver stackers and stuff like that, we're going to have a really powerful force on the other side to say, hey, let's do something different. Not have a debt and death paradigm. Let's have, you know, equity and value for value paradigm type thing. And I think that the power shift is going to go towards those people. And I just trying as hard as I can to get the message out there, get the silver out there, get it in the hands of the people that really want to do something different with the world. And I think we're going to be able to do historically significant things on the other side.
Chris, it's great stuff, and we here in Turdville want to do everything we can to support it and help out. So I encourage everybody to check out Chris's YouTube channel, check out all of his work, and please support his efforts with the Coins for the Cause program. Chris, thank you very much for spending some time with us. I hope we can visit again soon. I think it'd be a great asset to continue to hear from you.
Yeah, I would love to come. I mean, I one thing no one ever can say, I can definitely talk a lot. So you bring, we'll talk. So, Turd, thank you so much for having me on. It was great to be on.
My pleasure, my friend. We'll visit again soon.
All right, take care.